At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It's death for Daybell. That is what Judge Boyce has said aloud, and that's also what a jury of Chad Daybell's peers have decided upon. Chad Daybell sentenced to death this last Saturday after the jury recommended the penalty for his convictions for first-degree murder and conspiracy in the deaths of his first wife, Tammy Daybell, and two of his second wife's children, 16-year-old Tyler Ryan and 7-year-old Joshua J.J. Vallow. The case, driven by elements of power, sex, money, and apocalyptic spiritual beliefs, captivated the nation's attention. Judge Stephen Boyce formally imposed a death sentence after the jury's lengthy deliberations concluded that the death penalty was appropriate. Daybell, who appeared with a blank expression as the judge read the sentence, also received a 15-year prison term for insurance fraud charges. He can, you know, he can run that one out after death. The sequester jury began their deliberations on Friday afternoon, 6 hours before pausing for the night. They resumed at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, reaching a verdict by 10:45 a.m. That's pretty quick for a death decision right there. Are you surprised at all that he got death?
I'm not. I think once they talk through everything that, like, the condition of the bodies of the two kids, I think once all of that was described, yeah, I feel like, at least as a listener to this trial, mm-hmm, I wasn't on the jury, obviously, but as a listener to this, I was mortified. And my thought was, death is where you're headed, Buster.
Yeah. It's amazing, really, how much he did not react in any way, shape, or form to anything during the trial. You know, he just said,
yeah, you know, especially the victim statements. He was just emotionless. There was nothing there.
I don't think he has emotions. I think that's part of the problem. I think that's probably what allowed him to carry out these horrible crimes. And it also allowed him to just be this doofus that he looks like, just sitting there, okay, whatever. And I think he realizes how he should act, but I don't think he actually feels the emotions, if you will. It's a lot of, like, learned behavior.
Let me ask you this. He certainly had lust.
He had lust.
That's an emotion, right?
It is, but that's not empathy. He had lust. And that was something that, because it was for him, it was like it's going after something that makes him feel good. I don't think he has the empathy where you can feel emotion for other people other than if it's something for yourself. That's just my guess. I mean, the fact that you're able to carry out killing children and your wife, I mean, the mother of your own children, and still just kind of all do it for your own weird sexual satisfaction and gain. That's pretty fucked up. Let's take a listen to the sentencing being read.
And so the court will proceed with sentencing first on counts 1 through 6. And again, this is an unusual hearing because the sentencing hearing's already been taking place. We've heard from the victims through impact statements and arguments from counsel. That's already taken place. In addition, a pre-sentence investigation report is not to be ordered in these hearings, so the court does not reference that. The court then orders as follows, and this will be contained in the court's judgment at the conclusion of the case. As to count 1, the conspiracy to commit first-degree murder and grand theft by deception for the murder of Tylee Ryan, upon the jury's finding of guilty and return of the special verdict form, the jury finding beyond a reasonable doubt and having returned the special verdict that the aggravating circumstances when weighed against the mitigating circumstances do not make the imposition of the death penalty unjust, the court therefore, on count one, the defendant is sentenced to death. On count two, the first degree murder of Tylee Ryan, the jury finding beyond a reasonable doubt and having returned the special verdict that the aggravating circumstances when weighed against the mitigating circumstances do not make the imposition of the death penalty unjust, the court therefore, on count two, sentences the defendant to death. On count three, the conspiracy to commit first degree murder and grand theft by deception for the murder of J.J. Vallow, the jury finding beyond a reasonable doubt and having returned the special verdict that the aggravating circumstances when weighed against the mitigating circumstances do not make the imposition of the death penalty unjust, the court therefore on count three sentences the defendant to death. On count four, first degree murder of J.J. Vallow, the jury finding beyond a reasonable doubt and having returned the special verdict that the aggravating circumstances when weighed against the mitigating circumstances do not make the imposition of the death penalty unjust, the court therefore on count four sentences the defendant to death. On count five, conspiracy to commit first degree murder of Tammy Daybell, the jury having found beyond a reasonable doubt and having returned the special verdict that the aggravating circumstances when weighed against the mitigating circumstances do not make the imposition of the death penalty unjust, the court therefore, on count five, sentences the defendant to death. On count six, the first degree murder charge, the murder of Tammy Daybell, the jury having found beyond a reasonable doubt and returned the special verdict that the aggravating circumstances when weighed against the mitigating circumstances do not make the imposition of the death penalty unjust, the court therefore on count six sentences the defendant to death.
Chad Daybell going to die for his actions in relation to Lori Vallow Daybell, her children, his former wife, and God knows who else we're going to find out about. I think the story is still far from over. I think there's a lot of other people that they're going to end up looking at and going, this seems a little bizarre as well. Maybe not necessarily with Chad, but I think you dig further back in the land of Lori and you're going to find some more interesting pieces there. Let's continue on here. Hang on one sec. The defendant exhibited utter disregard for human life, prosecutor Rob Wood told the jury on Friday, asking them to consider several aggravating factors that warranted the death penalty. Wood emphasized that the murders were committed for financial gain, citing Daybell's conviction for insurance fraud related to life insurance policies that paid out after Tammy Daybell's death. Additionally, both Chad and Lori Vallow Daybell were convicted of grand theft for continuing to collect Social Security benefits for the children after their deaths. Wood further argued that the murders were especially heinous, atrocious, and cruel, manifesting exceptional depravity. He described Daybell's actions as a clear threat to society, suggesting that his propensity for murder could continue. If it is your decision whether one or more of these aggravators has been proven, and if it has been, you must decide if, under these circumstances, imposition of the death penalty would be just or unjust, Wood concluded. The jury's decision was influenced by the contrasting portraits of Daybell. Prosecutors painted him as a manipulative figure whose actions were driven by greed and apocalyptic beliefs. In contrast, the defense sought to humanize Daybell, emphasizing that he still had family who cared about him. The sensational nature of the case, which included claims of apocalyptic prophecies, zombie children, and illicit affairs, was highlighted, of course, in the 2022 Netflix true crime documentary series, further amplifying the public interest in the case. There was a lot more in the victim impact statements here from the trial. Then I want to take a listen to next. Kay Woodcock, we have here. This is the grandmother of JJ and Tylee. They, between her and her husband, they were in there every single day, being the voice, you know, for those two children. Let's take a listen.
Mr. Wood.
Thank you. Ms. Woodcock, we know you've already testified in this case, but can you remind the jury which victim you were related to?
I am related to J.J. Vallow. He was my grandson, and Tylee Ryan is my step-niece.
Thank you. Did you prepare a statement, a victim impact statement today?
Yes.
Will you please read that for the jury?
Sure. Today is an incredibly difficult and bittersweet day. I am filled with pride as I remember and speak about what an amazing grandson we had, and grief-stricken at speaking about how devastated I am at his loss. I sit here today, try and explain the immense pain that me and everyone in my family continues to endure daily. But how do I do that? What words carry the strength and impact to really ensure you feel the joy and love that JJ created and the impact of his death? There aren't any. No words can truly describe and fully demonstrate the depth of pain his death has created in our hearts and our lives. The loss of a grandchild is immensely painful under normal circumstances for any grandparent. The death of a grandchild at the hands of another brings pain that is indescribable. If you remember, JJ was born with the name Kanan Todd Trahan. He was born May 25th, 2012. He would have celebrated his 12th birthday just a few short days ago.
Chad, sitting there looking like himself, not making any sort of eye contact with anybody, just staring off into the distance as that was read. Let's listen to Tammy Daybell. This was the wife of Chad. This is her brother's impact statement.
Hope was lost. I went into therapy, both talk and medicinal. My blood pressure went so high that my doctor prescribed something he'd only done three times previous in his long career. He was afraid I was having a stroke right there in the office and had an ambulance on standby in case I did so. When I learned of the results of the autopsy, I did not sleep for 6 weeks. The nightmare fodder that I have been provided will last me a lifetime. My insurance rates have skyrocketed due to the medications I started on right after the children were found, and I'm now ineligible for certain coverages. As the big brother, I felt and I feel like a failure. I failed to protect Tammy. I looked for a silver lining, as we do as big brothers, trying to set up some kind of a win. And none to be found. For the first time in my life, I was unable to function at the level I always had. Work, family, God, all of my relationships suffered. I had to be told by my therapist that I had already lost, that I would not find a win. I have mostly come to terms with that, but the loss is still so very raw. I now have an angry part that has become hopefully not a permanent part of me. People that have known me most of my life don't know who I am. They don't know what I'm going through because they are not the big brother whose sister was killed. I cannot tell you what my dad or siblings have suffered because I did not lose a child or an older sibling. The grief and suffering is unique to each of us, but has driven wedges of misunderstanding. If this were radioactivity we were dealing with, I would look to the half-life to see when the pain and suffering might stop.
I think you get that guy in a room where Chad Daybell is like chained to the walls and give him like a lighter and some gasoline and some knives that are not super sharp, but, you know, kind of rusty.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, anything else you could think of to torture someone with, and you let him, you know, have an hour alone and say, you can do whatever you want. Good luck. And
yeah, this guy is truly struggling.
Yeah. And these are the other victims of Chad Daybell. This oaf that just sits there acting like a moron because he is. Realizing he got caught in his fucked up plot with zero regard for anyone else around him. Let's listen to Tammy's dad's victim statement.
The tragedy of the case has harmed our family's relationship with the kids. I will remain open to rebuilding a relationship with them. It makes me angry, and it destroys me to know Tammy was treated how she was. I find it comforting to know that Tammy is resting peacefully in Utah, buried alone, and near her beloved mother.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas.
I wonder how Chad's kids are going to handle any of this now.
That's a really good question.
You think they're going to wise up?
You know, it depends on how far they're into the cult, because if they believe in all of that stuff, are they really going to change their belief system?
I mean, you got grandma, you got grandparents who don't believe it. You have aunts and uncles who don't believe it. You have basically everybody on the planet who doesn't believe Chad Daybell, except for Chad Daybell. I don't think Chad believes it, and his kids and Lori. I hope those people wake the fuck up. I mean, otherwise, I'd be very concerned about them right now. Not that they're going to go and repeat the same shit that Chad did, but this has got to be so overwhelming. I'd be concerned that they're going to find these kids dead. Like they had some Flavor Aid and put on fucking Nikes and called it a day.
I hope that's not the case. I, you know, they would benefit from some serious therapy where you're dealing with people who've been kidnapped and in cults and things like that.
That's
because
what they need.
They need their brain unwired from this wiring that he did.
They almost need like an impatient
deprogramming.
Type yeah, a deprogramming. It needs to be like almost an impatient type thing where they're somewhere for a while, and. Because this is not like an outpatient, hey, once a week or a couple times a week, we'll talk about this. But obviously they'd have to recognize it first. I mean, they got spouses. We learned that they've been married. I mean, I hope that maybe those spouses will step up and go, look, hey, I love you. We got to get you some help here because they are screwed. I mean, they obviously couldn't wrap their mind around what happened yet. But I don't know if they ever will, but that's just never going to be a good life for them. Colby Ryan, Tylee's brother, expressed his sorrow, saying, I will never get to see my sister grow up or achieve her dreams. She was robbed of her life, and we were robbed of her presence. Larry Woodcock, JJ's grandfather, described JJ as a light of our lives, cruelly extinguished. That's the trial of Chad Daybell. Guilty on all counts and sentenced to what he certainly deserves, death.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.